Today's share in the Dear Shem Mishneh Berurah Yomi program is Dav Chaf Hei Amud Beis in the third volume of Mishneh Berurah. We are in Siman Reish Nun Dalet, and we're beginning at Siv Gimel. The Mechaber tells us we're in the middle of a discussion about roasting on Erev Shabbos into Shabbos. If a person transgressed and put on Erev Shabbos this item that you're not allowed to roast on Erev Shabbos so close to Shabbos because it's not cooked, roasted a significant amount, or he simply forgot and placed it over there, and now the Nitzla b'Shabbos b'Isser, and now this item is being roasted on Shabbos when it's prohibited to do so, so then the din is Osir. A person not allowed to get any benefit from this food on Shabbos, and indeed has to wait, as we'll see, till after Shabbos, the amount of time that it would have taken you to roast this item before you can eat it. The Mishneh Berurah explains in Siv Katan Yutes, Avar, if the person intentionally transgressed over here, Shenotzan b'meizid, he intentionally placed it there on purpose. Samuch l'chashecha kolkach, he placed it there on Erev Shabbos right before it gets dark. Achelo hoya shehus litzlos mibod yom, kimaycho ben drosoy. And there's no way that it would be able to be roasted to the minimal level necessary to this level of maycho ben drosoy, which we've already explained multiple times, means either a half or a third roasted, and it's edible at that point in time, so it's no way that it could be edible even to this level of Maichel ben Rosoi before Shabbos. And now, therefore, it's going to roast on Shabbos. V'l'nitzla bizmano osir. It's going to be roasted in a prohibited time. Alternatively, the second part of the Mechaber statement was shochach. O sheshochach hatzli agabi kira. V'nitzla b'Shabbos. You totally forgot that you placed it over there. You were taking it off in a second, and then you forgot. And now it got roasted in this oven on Shabbos. So af al pi kein osur b'dieved. Even though this was done unintentionally in the second case, shochach, nevertheless, the rabbis instituted over here a knas, a penalty, and don't let you use this even b'dieved. This is based upon the Gemara. The Mishneh Berurah tells us in Os Yud Ches in the Shaar Tzion, Kidei shelo yovo lahashos b'meizid v'yomer shachachti. So a person shouldn't realize, hey, I was able to eat this. Next time I'm going to do it, quote, by accident, when he really does it on purpose, and he'll tell everybody, oh, I forgot, and it would be permissible. So therefore, the rabbis instituted a kenas over here to not even allow you to benefit from it when you placed it there by accident, not even on purpose. Mishneh Berurah Siv Katan Chaf says it's Osir, and this is Bein Lo, this is whether to that person himself, Bein Liachem, or other Jewish people, Ad Motzei Shabbos, until Motzei Shabbos comes, Bichtei Sheyosu, until you have enough time to go and roast it on Motzei Shabbos. Let's say it takes a half an hour to roast, so then once Shabbos is over, you still have to wait a half an hour before you're allowed to benefit from it. As we've already learned, Uke Dela'el B'Simen Reish Nun Gimel Sif Aleph. Dirshu foot number 11 brings down over here that the reason why the rabbis required you to have this b'chdei sheyosu, this amount of time after Shabbos that it would take to do this, you still have to wait. So the Bir Halacha we already learned in Siman Reish Nun Gimel said that there's two opinions over here. According to Rashi in the Gemara in Shabbos, the reasoning is k'dei shelo yehoneh mimlacha Shabbos, that you shouldn't get any benefit from work that was done on Shabbos. The reasoning according to the Rambam is a little bit different. K'dei shelo yishtaker klum v'lo yovo lohoka v'zeh pamacheres. So you should gain nothing from this, because if you're gaining from this, next time you're going to be also a little bit less strict than you should be. And therefore, to prevent you from taking any coolers in the future on this, so the rabbis were very strict about this. Now, he adds further over there that if somebody leaves it on Shabbos b'shogeg, you also have to wait. Here we've been talking about Erev Shabbos. He says, but on Shabbos, you also have to wait b'chdei sheyasu. That's how his mashma over here. However, earlier the Mishneh Berurah said, from the Lashon of the Rambam, it's not so clear that this would be true. Siv Dalet. The Mechaber tells us, Peiros shenecholin chayin. If you have fruits that are perfectly edible in the raw state without being cooked, so these, mutu litnom soviv hakdera, you are allowed to place these fruits, which are edible in the raw state, around the plate of meat that you're cooking. Even though, now the meat has to be cooked already enough to be maichol ben nosoy to get around all the problems we've been discussing, but the fruit doesn't have to be cooked at all. It can be totally raw, even though there's no way this fruit will be able to be roasted in time to make it a roasted apple, let's say, before Shabbos. Now, the Mishneh Berurah explains in Siv Katan Chaf Aleph, V'kedera omedes al hapitput v'tachtel yeshesh. We're talking here about your kedera, your meat dish over here, was standing on some sort of a pitput. A pitput's like a tripod, and underneath it is the fire. V'komash malon. And the chiddush over here of the Mechaber is the mutr liten kodim chashecha peros sviva. You are allowed to place fruits, raw fruits, around this dish. Avsha peros nogim ba'esh, even though the peros are actually going to come into contact with the fire as a result. V'nitzolim b'Shabbos, and they'll be roasting on Shabbos mechol ma'esh, from the heat of the fire. Now, you're not allowed to do this when it comes to basar or even onions. So why are you allowed to do this with fruit? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, below Domi, the fruits over here are not comparable lebasar to meat, or batzel to an onion, or beitza to an egg, hana, which we discussed previously. The also litnum, there you're not allowed to put these next to the fire. Elo im kein nitzolu mibojom kimayachol ben drusoy, as I pointed out a moment ago, and here's where I got it from, unless they're already cooked to the level of mayachol ben drusoy, i.e. they're edible. In this situation, but the fruit, however, which is able to be eaten raw, has the halachic status as already being kemayachol ben drusoy in the raw state. Because the yoser heim tovim below bishul, they actually are more edible, more tasty, without being roasted at all or cooked at all. Klal mishar tavshul shenis bashul kemayachol ben drusoy, as opposed to something else which is not edible raw, and now it's barely edible when it's cooked to this one third halfway point of mayachol ben drusoy. So therefore, there's a huge difference over here between a fruit. It's edible raw, absolutely deliciously, and these other items like meat or an onion or an egg, which are absolutely inedible until you cook them to at least the level of Mayachol Ben Drusoy. And therefore, v'lo asi l'chatuyeh, we're not concerned over here that you're going to come to adjust the coal, stir the coal, stoke the fire over here when it comes to the fruit, where we are very concerned that you'll do that with the meat, the eggs, or the onion. Now, when the Mechaber is writing over here, he says you can put the fruits around the Kedera, and he didn't say that on Erev Shabbos you can put it right on the fire. Why did he specifically use the terminology Soviv HaKedera when it's perfectly fine to actually put it on the fire itself before Shabbos starts? So he tells us, he's telling us just what was the common practice. This is the way they normally would do it, not that you wouldn't be allowed to do it on the fire itself, but this happened to be the way that they normally did it. Alternatively, inami, mishum din hakisui, dinokat b'seifa, d'shayach b'kedera, or we'll learn in a moment that there's another din about returning the cover to this over here that's applicable by kedera, so therefore nakte, that's why he specifically mentions over here, soviv, l'kedera, because we're dealing over here with returning the cover to the kedera, as we'll see in a moment. Mishnah Berurah Sif Karim Chav Beis, he writes, V'lo domi lebatzel, he again adds over here, this is dissimilar to the onion, Besif Beis, the also we said, you're not allowed to do this with an onion. Now, V'afo pishol ofam yo'ochlen osel chai. Now here you could argue, an onion also can be eaten raw. There are some people that eat raw onions. However, mikol makom ein tov lo'ochlo chai kmo tapuchim. However, there certainly is a difference between people taking raw onions, which, yes, are edible, but that's not usually the way that onions are eaten. They're normally eaten in a roasted or cooked state, as opposed to a raw fruit, which is much more likely to be enjoyed in the raw state than it is in the cooked state. And therefore, v'ubadin l'chol dovish ein tov lo'ochlo chai. This would be true for anything which, while edible raw, is normally not as good or as tasty in the raw state. For example, kmo tapuche yar, like these forest apples, some sort of a wild apple, I'm not sure what he specifically is referring to, uchadom or anything like this, which is has halachically the same status, also kibbutzel, ubeitzel, hanal. While some people do eat raw onions and some people even do eat raw eggs, nevertheless, they are certainly much better in the cooked state or in the roasted state, and therefore, these items that are better in the cooked or roasted state, we are concerned that you'll stoke the fire, as opposed to something like an apple, which is perfectly edible and delicious in the raw state. We're not concerned that if you roast it, that you'll come to stir the fire. The Mechaber continues, and now he writes, Umiyu, however, tzarech lizar, a person has to be very careful in this situation, shelo yachzir hakisui im nizgala mishachashecha, v'shelo lahosif olav ad sheyitzolu. When you have the fruits that are next to this dish over here, and the dish is covered up, so here you have to be careful that you normally are allowed to return the dish on top of the meat, as we'll explain in a moment in the Mishnah Berurah, but here, when you return the top over here, you're going to facilitate the cooking of this apple, and therefore, you're not allowed to do this, since it will facilitate and cook a little bit more rapidly on Shabbos, now you're not allowed to go on Shabbos and return the cover, even though, if it was just the dish itself, you would have been able to return this. As the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkan Chav Gimel, after mitzarek there, in regards to the actual cooked dish over here, which was already cooked fully before Shabbos, in his galah b'Shabbos, if it is now going to be uncovered on Shabbos, in his galah b'Shabbos, akisu shelo shekisu milamalo shelo yitzdanin, you would have this fully cooked, and you left it on the fire so it should stay hot, and you leave the cover on so it shouldn't cool off. So mutu lachzo lachasol, so you are allowed to return the cover to this over here. The chel hosev will even add to the cover over here, as we will learn to the common bereish nun zayin sif dalit. where we'll teach us the laws over there, Sham HaKidero Kvar Nisbashim Yivod Yom, since it was already cooked before the day, and there is no problem. We'll explain why there's no problem with Hatman of insulation as well. However, Aval Hocho Shah Peiros Nisbashlin Vaholchim Bishabis, here the raw fruit, which was perfectly edible, that's why you'll have to put it there on Erev Shabbos, but now you want to return the cover on Shabbos, Vakisu Gamkin Aleim, and the Kisu is over the meat and as well over this raw fruit, and now you're going to return it, Vayidei Akisu Humamar Ligmar Bishulo, and now this will in fact cause the roasted apple over here to be roasted or cooked a little bit faster. That is osur. The issue for number 14 brings down a discussion. Is this an issur d'oraisa or is this an issur d'rabbanan? Ayin sham in the issue for number 14. Mishnah Berurah Siv Katan Chav Dalet says it will cook faster. And certainly you can't put this apple over here next to the fire on Shabbos in order that it will roast on Shabbos. And even if you put it there before the fire is lit, in the situation where, for example, we talked about in the previous siman, that you have some sort of a furnace that the guy is allowed to light for you on Shabbos for heating purposes, for the heating up the house, so you can put food on top of it under certain situations before it's lit to heat up, so you can't do that over here with the apple. Kidileel, Svesov Simon Reish Nun Gimel, this din was discussed previously in Reish Nun Gimel. Avo Kodim Chashecha, but before it's Shabbos, before it's dark, Mutalitein Osam Altan Racham, you are allowed to put this apple onto this hot oven, or Bekochlin, or these various compartments of the oven, and this is brought down in the name of the Prima Godin. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, Vida, that which we allow you to put the apple right next to the fire before it's dark on Erev Shabbos, that's only before the Shkia. And we described this previously, what those times are, and as well we'll see this later on. What are the halachos of Bein HaShmoshos regarding cooking? Sifhei, the Mechaber says, Einostim somoth l'chashecha pas l'tanur, elo kidei shi'ikrimu. I'll skip the words of the Ramah for a second and keep on reading the Mechaber. Elo kidei shi'ikrimu panel ha'medubokim b'tanur. Now, the Mechaber is telling us over here that you're not allowed to place a dough into an oven, somoth l'chashecha, close to Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, unless it's already been cooked so much so that it has somehow had a crust form on the face that is attached to the tanur. What does that mean? So the Ramah, now we'll read the Ramah, Pirush, Shiyala al pnei halechem, that should be formed on the bread, krum uklipa, a crust of some sort, machmas eish. In other words, the dough should be baked enough that it's starting to have a crust upon it. And the Mechaber said, which aspect is two aspects, two faces, if you wish, the top and the bottom of the bread. So it should be the part that should make the crust should be on the part that's on the bottom towards the tanur. Mishnah Berurah explains in Siv Katan Chaf Hei that you're talking here about that it should at least form a crust mibod yom, enough during the day. The sulo chayshina, and once it's formed the crust, we're no longer concerned shami yachate begecholim, that you're going to go and come to adjust the oven in order that the bread should bake faster. The Dirshu foot number 17 brings down the reasoning behind this is based upon a Rambam. Shachitui begecholim li'achar shakar mupnei apas masid sapas. Once the bread has baked to the point where it has a crust on it, if you were to stir the fire, you'll actually ruin the bread. And the Aruch HaShulchan explains, therefore, that because of this reasoning, this is the distinction between a tavshil and bread. Because the bottom line is that a tavshil will get better if you stoke the fire. That's why there's a concern with the tavshil. But the bread will actually get worse, so there's no concern over here that you'll go and stir the fire once it has a crust. And that's, so to say, the equivalent of Maichel Ben Dorsoi. Mishnah Berurah Siv Katan Chavav explains that the Mechaber had told us that it's the face, so to say, the side of the bread that is closer to the tanur. V'achronim miskimu duha din desagi in miskarian panea shekinegir ha'esh. The Achronim say it would be fine if you're dealing with the other side as well. As long as one side of the bread has a crust on it, that would be adequate. V'yavshod digam ha'mechaber sfirulei. And in fact, the Mechaber himself may hold like this, and therefore, why did he say, why did he say the part that's attached to the bottom of the oven, because he holds the Zeu Yosef Bekal Miskar, because he says that's going to be technically the first one that gets a crust, but it would be fine if the other side gets the crust, that would also be valid for this din to apply. And it makes no difference over here if the bread is actually baked on the bottom of the oven or in one of these bekin. A bekin is like a pan. Tavnis afi, it says in the Targum 4 at the bottom. So this is baking it in some sort of a pan. And he says, we're going to have further discussion about this in a moment in the Ramah. And then he tells us the Mishnah Berurah that is Va'ayin beBir Hagra Be'Agor Shebesamuch. The Vilna Gaon over here, the Bir Hagra, expands further upon the Ramah. The Dafkim Apas Dak. We're dealing here with a very thin type of a dough. Avol Hamuav. If we're dealing with a thick type of a dough, Inus Bashul Mehira, that's not going to bake very quickly. It's a much thicker dough, and therefore Vitzarich Shia Nikram Haponim HaTachton SheKineged HaTanur VeGam Haponim Shelamala Neged Chalal HaTanur. In dealing with a thick dough, it's not adequate that only one side should get a crust, but in order for this din to apply, both the top and the bottom of this baked dough need to have a crust in order for this din to be allowed, that you can place this in the fire close enough to Shabbos where this can occur, that's allowed. But if it can't occur, if it's not going to, it's too, so close to Shabbos that it won't get this crust on both sides, if it's a thick dough, you wouldn't be allowed to do this. Chabad continues and he writes, V'lo charora, a piece of cake you can't place in the oven as well, agabi gecholim, on top of coals, ela kadei sheikru m'ponea shekineged eish, unless, again, it's already had some sort of a crust develop on the part that's adjacent to the fire, opposite the fire. The Ramah adds and explains, Hagah, the whole Sheparsa, if you were to separate this cake, and it would all come apart, and as opposed to half it would come apart and you'd have strands of dough, that's called Kari Krimas Parim. That is the definition over here of a crust has formed. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkon Chav Zayin explains, "Ba'afilu muhayu hapas ovid." This is true even if it's a very thick dough. Nami sagi bozeh hashir lekuliyama. As long as if you pull it, the thing won't come apart with strands of dough. The kiven dein achutim shochem. Since these doughs will all stay together, bevadi nikru ponei hate. That's called that it's crusted enough. Bein lamala bein lamata, on the top or on the bottom. Mishnah Berurah in Sivkon Chav Ches writes, "V'chol zeh b'shein gar fakotim." Here we're talking about this is only allowed if it's crusted so much so for the bread or for the cake, then you're allowed to do this on Erev Shabbos. That's only when you're dealing with an oven that doesn't have a blech, grufa of a ketuma. Avo bakira o betanu shalonu, but with the kiras of the Gemara, or our tanurim, which we already explained many times, have the halachic status of a kira, our ovens nowadays, kishu garav v'katum, which if they have a blech, o kishu sosin piatanu betit, or it's sealed with clay, which we've already explained, there's no concern in either of these two cases that you're going to be mechata gecholim because it's either covered up or that it's sealed. Then you're allowed to put it inside the oven before the shkia, no matter what condition it's in. It doesn't have to reach the stage of having a crust. The Ramah continues and says, upashtida. Pashtida is some sort of a meat knish or any sort of a fruit-filled or fat-filled type of a dough that has this stuff inside of it. Oh, pladin. Pladin he brings down over here in Targum Os 2. Over here he says, ugo memala beperos omini masika. This would be something like a pie, a cookie filled with some sort of a pie filling. Tsarich shikru ponel lamala ulamata. Then in this situation, the amount that it has to be baked in order for it to be allowed to be put in on Erev Shabbos into a non-blech oven, so then this would have to be both the top and the bottom. V'spashu masha besocha kemaychol ben drusoy. And likewise, the pie filling inside or the meat inside, whatever's inside, would also have to be cooked adequately to the level of maychol ben drusoy. And in all of these situations, we're no longer concerned shami yachata begecholim. Mishnah Berurah explains the Sivkon Chav Tes. Lamala means the top part, Hainu Litzad Chalal HaTanu, that's to the open space of the oven. Ulamata, the bottom, Litzad Tachtes HaKli Shenefesbo, that means to the bottom of the Kli that it's being cooked inside of. Ayin Magen Avraham V'Taz Shekasu, the Magen Avraham V'Taz both say, Dilfi Dasa Mechaber Le'el, according to the opinion that we brought down previously from the Mechaber, Sagi Bishenikram B'mokum Ech Levad. According to the Mechaber, you only need one side to be crusted. Amnam bibir agrakos over the Vilnagon, as we had previously just brought down, says when you're dealing with a thick dough, dilafishu av the enum is bashal meir, it won't cook so quickly, then you need lakuliyam, lakak kuliyam, boina nomalo mouth, you need both the top and the bottom to have a crust. And the gam dogala mirvava, the dogal mirvava also says kosa the kuliyam vodum is there, everybody agrees with this Vilnagon. However, he brings a different reason, omnam tam acher, for a different reason. The kivin the pashtido, chelek el yom chelek tachton enum migush echot. He says the dough that you have on the top of this, let's say, meat knish, and the dough that you have on the bottom of the meat knish, they're not connected to each other. They're separated by the meat. Dari amulyasa, the filling in between, shibasocha mafrid benayim, separates these two, the top and the bottom dough. Therefore, heavy kishnei ugos. It's like you have two cookies there. And each one needs to have its crust. So the top part, which will be visible, will be the outer crust, and the bottom part, which is the bottom crust, it's two separate cookies. That's why you need two separate crusts. The Chen Kosev B'Sefer Chem and Moshe, this is the opinion of the Chem and Moshe as well. The filling inside of this dough, whether it's meat or whether it's fish or anything like this, a pie filling, the imloking, because if you don't have it cooked adequately, even though the outer crust, the bottom crust, is adequately cooked, we're concerned you'll come to adjust the coal, stoke the fire, that you'll come to go and make sure that the middle part, the meat, the fish inside, or the pie filling, is adequately cooked. That concludes today's shiur.